Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 19.
Come on, son. Get it? It's my masterpiece. It's like JR's masterpiece, but like times 10. I think I overhyped it, but I love it so much.
You were really, really proud.
Huh? It's also a dual meaning to come on, son. Nobody showed up for this thing. We've hit it pretty well for these 10 seconds, but this is it. It's getting near the end of the show, so people are getting killed off.
It's all downhill from here.
So,
we're going to turn on each other and then have a Pokemon battle.
One of us is going to completely change our... That would be hilarious. Reenacting like all that epic stuff, but just with DSs.
DSs and tricycles.
One of us has to like completely change our beliefs and then start attacking. Like, I'll just suddenly start defending old Toku and like get eyeliner and start like attacking, and it'll be great.
Now I just picture you like riding around on a tricycle going, "Old Toku is the best."
Go CGI. Shouldn't be using modern special effects. How dare we take advantage of technology?
Oh, man. I'm yawning already. This is going to be a ride.
Nobody to keep him awake. It is. It's going to be
gonna be
kind of like a really relaxing, like, 12-mile-an-hour car ride.
Okay. One-ups. Pass. No.
Nobody can pass today.
What is going on? I have been Walgreens hunting. Because there's a fair amount near my house. So I don't remember what I had last episode, if I had anything yet. I don't remember. But I found Super Samurai Red first. And then a couple days later, I found Titanium and Mighty Morphin White. And that was about it, because every other one I went to didn't have them. And now, finally, today, I stopped at a couple more that were on my mom's side of town, and I got Quantum, Omega, and Super Mega Force Silver. So I'm up to 6 of the 8 that are available at Walgreens. So there's a chance I could finish Wave 6 before I ever see Wave 5. Yeah, that is where we're at now.
They were spotted at Walmart like a million years ago and then just stopped.
Yeah, like the West Coast was like, oh, Walmarts and stuff. And like people were finding them at Walmarts. I forgot who's left in that wave. Eric pointed it out to me and I forgot what was in it.
There's like a bunch of people in Wave 5.
Wave 5 is pretty big. It's like 8 or 9 figures. And then Wave 6, in terms of new
like six
figures, there's only 6. Because Super Mega Force Silver and Mighty Morphin White are technically part of Wave 5. They're just packed again in Wave 6. So I don't know how to go about in reviewing them, because I'm not sure what I'm going to find Wave 5. So I don't know whether to lump Super Mega Force Silver and Mighty Morphin White in with Wave 6 to get it out of the way, or...
Just title it Review Wave 6.5, and then when you find Wave 6, it'll be Wave 5.6. It won't be confusing at all.
Not at all. 5.6 is just such a common number, I mean. Jeez.
That's why I always count them like 4, 5, 5.6, 6. It's just how it goes. It's like next to Durf.
So that's been... a lot going on. My friend's getting married on Saturday, so that's going to be a...
Kevin's getting married already?
No.
What? No.
What? I've got more friends than that. So that's going to be an adventure. What else? I don't know. I'm getting an iPhone 6 Plus tomorrow.
getting a minus.
I've owned six check. First grade up in here. I'm like frantically looking around. I got Transformers Generation Skybite today. I found him and I'm like, sure. So he's all right. I could see why a lot of people were complaining about him, but he's cool, I guess. But outside of that, I mean, in terms of like Toku and stuff, I've got a couple like Sal packages on the way to me for like Mandarake and stuff that I just didn't care about. I don't even remember what's in them. It'll be a surprise, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I haven't bought anything either because this month is a very like wasteland sort of month. Like nothing came out at all. The canning oh, nice. Came out. I saw it in stock last night. I was like, you know what? If you're in stock in the morning, I'll think about it. And I went to bed. I got up and then just forgot.
It was in stock this morning.
It has since sold out, so I didn't have to think about it, which is always fun. I don't know what I'm doing with that thing.
I'm doing nothing with it.
I want the Resha, and it makes a lot of sounds, and I like sounds. But the shipping. I calculated it on HLJ because I was bored. The shipping on that thing is $45.
Ugh. It's Tokuger, so it's not even worth it.
And I'm like, the way Tokuger sales are going, like, I see you being like a Lyle Blaster of toys. So I'm just gonna go just sit. So I'll get it eventually, I guess. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, let's see.
Yep, I got enough.
I fell off time. Let's see, what have I been doing? Well, I finally got all those DVDs I was looking for. I got Supernatural Season 9 and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1 and
Arrow
Disney.
Not
Disney. Yeah, Arrow came out, but I'm waiting for it to go on sale. Like, I needed to get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because my mom wanted to watch it. So I'm like, all right, I want to get it anyway, so let's get it. And then she still hasn't watched any of it yet, but she needs to watch it. But I got that, and Supernatural, and Destiny, which is really awesome. I've been playing that this week. It's a lot of fun. And Captain America, which I had already had, but I wanted to have it in the picture so it looked more badass. And let's see. I've also been Walgreens hunting. I haven't really had any luck, but I know they're here because I don't like to let people – well, I mean, people know where I live, but I don't like to broadcast. Like, oh, I found this at this Walmart at this place. But I know that there's other people here. I think Morphin Legacy lives here. I don't know where he lives. It's kind of far away, but he seems to venture down into my turf. because, like, I saw him one time, found, like, Ranger keys at the Target where my friend used to live 45 minutes away. And that's how I knew they were in state, and I found him somewhere else completely. But so he lives here, and then there's that fucking Rancor guy or whatever his name is. He's like, they're at Aurora. I'm like, bitch, you stay out of A-Town. That is my turf. Every time I go there, all they have is samurai stuff. And not like the new samurai figures, always like the Shogun mode guy. And the only thing I did find, which I didn't pick up because I thought it was more expensive there, but it wasn't, was the Star Wars Black Series Darth Vader figure, which I had to go back for. But I do prefer hunting Walgreens out of the obscure hunting locations as opposed to like Big Lots or Ross, because I always feel so dirty when I get out of them, and particularly Ross. It's like, I don't think you have them. I think you've told me you don't have them, but
no, but you have them. I've experienced enough with TJ Maxx and Marshalls to know.
It's like the worst. It's like they put a tornado that goes through it and then clean the place with baby diapers, and it's just disgusting. So I'm glad that at the moment there's nothing hunting for there. I actually haven't had a hunt there in like 3 years, so Walgreens is much more pleasant, and they're plentiful and like really easy to get in and out of. It's like a really good wild edible. I don't know why Survivor Man reference came into that. But so yeah, I've been doing that too. Like I said, playing Destiny. I got to start Season 9 of Supernatural. I'm only a few in. I'll need to hurry up and finish it, but I also want to make it last, because when I'm done with this, I'm not going to ever have a time where I can just sit down and watch a bunch of episodes at once. So, you know, it's Catch 32. And speaking of Catch 32, I've also been watching Raising Hope, in reference to neglecting my Lost Galaxy duties. And I also started Cougar Town because it's really funny. And I have like the most random TV taste of anybody on this cast. I do. Like, it's all over the place. Other than that, I don't think there really has been much else. Honestly, it's just the same. I don't think I have any packages I'm expecting from Japan or anything. I did get Kachidoki this morning. Brian let me know, but I did see it this morning because I was bored and I was browsing AmiAmi's mobile site, and all of a sudden it said in stock. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta get on this. So I'm pretty happy because I'm pretty close to being done with who I need for Gaim. Is Duke an exclusive?
Yeah.
Did he already go up?
Yeah, he closes in a couple days.
Oh, I better email Oki. I couldn't remember because I was going through my mental list of like the handful of Gaim guys I want, and I was thinking Duke, and I couldn't remember what happened to him. I keep debating about getting Ryugen because he's the only one of those four that I don't have, and they like complete the stand. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to matter because I'm going to just play all the Gaim guys together, and I just don't care for Ryugen's suit that much.
Yeah.
And his AC figure honestly looks pretty nice. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I can't think of anything else. I don't even know what Kevin and Aerosol are up to. I can't even fake their one-ups. I think Aerosol became a spy. He's been on an install for the past 2 weeks. He's got to get back to the buy more.
Now I just picture his life as like Chuck.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. He's going to be hooking up with Sarah Walker any day now. I have no idea what Kevin's doing. I think he's just running around like doing baby preparations.
He's the Captain Awesome in Ellie's side of the story.
He does.
The
next RR movie is going to be called Three Men and a Little Baby, RR in addition. I think I'm the only person that's seen that movie. Especially here since there's only two of us.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a movie about, just forget it, Tom Selleck's in it and he's like, I have a mustache and they have a baby. Like, whatever. It was a funny movie.
Yeah, just stop.
Okay. On to the news. This just in. Nothing.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. It was a Taiwan show or something. Showed off a complete selection modification Deca driver. That's legitimately all we know about it. No idea what's different. If it has new sounds. New cards? I don't know. That's all we know, is that it is going to exist. Exciting. There was a longer trailer for Drive released, and that looks
fun. It was neat.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't really have anything to say about the trailer, really. The sounds of like
they
the driver
sound
and stuff.
Like a similar style to right now. Like, yeah. Not, like, exactly the same voice, but, like, the announcement, it's like, okay, they're keeping this.
Yeah.
It sounds very similar.
And then, I think the only other thing going on is the... Dawson loves this one. The...
Yeah.
Premium Bandai Capsule Lockseed Showa Rider set. And so this is a... a set of capsule lock seeds, so they're just the ones with the button on the back that we're all used to by now. That has all the Showa riders, so Ichigo through J or Zio or whatever one
Black
ends
RX.
That chunk, I don't know.
Turbo.
in space. and as well as three secret ones. No idea what those are going to be, whether they're going to be like Shadow Moon or Tackle or whatever, whether they're going to be like from Gaim to make people that don't give a shit about these want to buy the set, because that's generally what they do. So we'll see what that is. It's coming out in January. It's $150 for the set. And now, keeping in mind that there's 18 locks in this set, the price ends up being reasonable. It's like $8 a lock, which is pretty standard for a Gashapon lock. But it's just the fact that you're plunking that down at one time.
Yeah.
For a bunch of plastic locks that make it seem like a shit ton of money. And then it's the fact that the Showa riders. That's
yeah,
a factor
exactly.
too.
Their sounds aren't as cool. Like, they don't have a belt that had sounds. I think it just rotated. It was like a blender. They just don't. Like, when I get any of those, they have phrases I have no idea what they're saying.
Now I just picture Ichigo's belt as just a giant blender.
It is.
Blender arms. Mr. Smoothie. That was weird. Oh God, we won't. Well, we both went the smoothie route. Okay.
Smoothies even invented in the '70s. I mean, honestly, right. They even discovered fruit at that point.
The only like interesting thing I want to comment about is the fact that there's pictures of the insides of all the locks, and V3's got that like can thing, which I think is kind of funny. And you get to Shin. Shin doesn't have a belt. All the insides of these are the belts for each of them. Shin doesn't have a belt, so his picture is just his face. So the lock is his face. It opens up to again reveal his face. And Shin also doesn't have any sort of weapons or anything. So the bottom picture, which is usually like a weapon, is just him. He is the weapon.
Selfie.
So the Shin lock seed is basically amazing. But Shin's a good guy. Everyone should go watch his masterpiece of a film. But yeah, that's it's been a really slow week. There's
French people have been quarrying Super Mega Force.
I think tomorrow's the finale.
Yeah,
Legend Wars tomorrow. So we'll know everything tomorrow. Meanwhile, we're still sitting here. Next week is the Worldwide Day of Play, so there's no episode on next week.
We still gotta wait till like November.
Yeah, we're.
You know, it's not so much that we don't get it first; it's that the French people do. That's just insulting. Like, it could have been anybody else, but it's gotta be the French. They think they're so cool with their baguettes.
And I like how they like blaze through it, like
they're coring the shit out of it.
They air 2 episodes a day for a week and like finish their show. I'm like, okay.
I forgot that they did it like this. Like, I thought it was just going to be 2 episodes a week. But nope, they're like, oh, we're going to get rid of this, so.
2 episodes, yeah, they did the same exact thing for Super Samurai.
All the ones are Super
Samurai. Except, I think, was it France in Super Samurai? I don't remember. I thought it was Brazil or something.
I don't know.
It was a very similar setup to where there was, like, 2 episodes a day for a week, and then the show was over.
Like, it goes to show, like, how much dragging is happening, just because... Not only did we already finish the show and they've already done ADR here, but they had time to get their smelly French people in the recording studio to do their dub voices. So that's crazy. Like, it is kind of like, I like getting a little heads up and stuff. And it's not like Gaim where I'm dodging spoilers, but it would be nice to have been a little bit surprised, even though at this point there really isn't anything unexpected, but yeah. Still, it is kind of crappy, especially when it's French. It's the worst.
There.
But yeah. We're not going to really spoil anything or talk about that, but people have been bitching and stuff. And, you know, hating on Super Mega Force is like the cool thing to do. It's like all the cool kids do it.
We'll have a wonderful conversation about that soon.
Yeah. This is like a sneak preview to our future Super Mega Force discussions.
All right, so... Oh, God, I gotta do this. Because now it's... You're getting no emotion at all. It's time for superhero time. Featuring Tokuger and Kamen Rider Gaim.
Like, you started to rev up and you're like, you know what? No. This isn't me.
This is not who I am. You can't change me. I changed the show. The show doesn't change me.
I still always laugh at the time that Cordelia asks Kevin a question and he just turns to her and goes, I hope that's how the wedding vows go.
And I just picture it in like the straightest face possible.
Oh man. Classic.
Okay, so
all right.
How'd you like that Tokuger episode, Dawson?
It was so good. That part when they transformed, I was like, I love the voices. And then when they fought the enemy, I was like, get them! And the Megazords was like... Brr, brr, brr. And Ticket was annoying, and so was the robot version of the girl from Deno. Yep. But at least they may or may not have used the line switches clever in this episode.
I don't think they did.
That's why I said may not. I was like, you know, just saying. In case I imagined it.
You did imagine it. You always imagine it. I was going to skim the episode real quick to refresh my mind. And I remembered I don't have it on the computer. So, then I went to JFusion's fucking stream thing, and they don't have the goddamn thing either. So I'm freeballing it right now.
Oh, God. This is getting nasty.
I liked a lot of what it was doing. I mean, at the core, the episode was moderately filler, and I didn't really like the base plot of the episode. To sum it up real quick, because Dawson didn't watch it.
Hey!
Outed.
I was like keeping the charade up really well.
Oh, you were doing a fantastic
job. I had an elaborate string of lies. It was like amazing.
Basically, the Marge Simpson hair lady was, so that's her new name, was all, bitch, you are only here because, well, I don't know why you're here. Make yourself useful. And so, Noir has to go and basically do grunt work. And so she has these feathers and they stab into your face and then you just, like, you go on a rampage. And so everyone's like, oh, we need to get the feathers out. And so they like, teamwork to pin people down and pull the feathers out. It's kind of stupid. But one ends up getting stuck in Wright's helmet. And so he's just, like, swinging his sword on, going, ah! And, like, for real, that's what he does. And so basically the entire episode revolves around them trying to figure out how to get the feather out of Wright. And there's some side stuff in there about Tokati liking Mio, but Mio always talking to Hikari, and Tokati might have made Hikari mad, but then Hikari's like, no, I'm not mad, bro. And there's a lot of stupidity and misunderstandings and stuff, because that's what happens. And I don't mind that necessarily. I think it adds a lot of kind of everyday human factors to characters who I've always said were very flat. So we're getting somewhere, and I appreciate that at least. So that was okay, and I like the fact that they're continuing the bit about Tokati liking Mio instead of just like dropping it off the face of the planet. And so there's a part near the end, and basically to get Wright, they're just like lashing out all their anger at Wright, and it was fantastic because I hate him so much. And so I hate Wright to the point where this scene, they were, it was very trivial things, like Mio and Kagura were like, put clothes on, because apparently he wanders around the trains in his underwear. That was a sight. And so it's very trivial things, but I'm sitting here going, just call him a fucking asshole. Because he is. And so I liked that bit just because I don't really like Wright. And despite the fact that the things that they were saying were very trivial, I projected myself in that scene at least.
They can cuss in Sentai too because it's a hardcore show for adults. So.
Oh yeah, this is such an adult show. And there was a couple other things about Schwartz and his Darkliner. Nothing really happened. He got in it and started it. That was the extent of his scene in this episode. So he's doing stuff next week. And then we saw Grita's reflection in the mirror with Zed again, and Noir's like, oh, she's still alive because he hasn't devoured her completely yet or something. So that's going to be a plot point eventually. Still leaning towards Grita, like, becoming good or whatever, like, popping out of Zed and being all, like, shine, shine, and then stuff happens. I don't know. The new villain is bringing an interesting dynamic to the Shadow Line, I think, because it was kind of plateauing a little bit. You had a lot of Greta Schwartz Zed Triangle of Death going on, and then that ended. And so Shadowlands been kind of a little bit flat the past couple episodes, but the Mork and Mindy is bringing a little bit of an edge to it, and she's got a history with Zed, and it's all mysterious and shit right now, but who really cares? Creepy as fuck, and I guess that's all that matters. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot else to say. I liked Akira a lot in this episode. Just because he was kind of cool at the beginning, and then he, like, blamed himself for, right, getting stabbed with a feather. He kind of blames himself for fucking everything. But I really dig Akira, so it... Like I said, the core plot of the episode was something that's very overdone and kind of just boring. But I liked the elements of the episode that did kind of flesh out the characters a little bit, brought up things that we know, and kind of made them continue to be relevant. So it was all right. I didn't mind it, even though the plot was stupid. This is the part where other people would say things.
I still stand by my point that the time they got the guy, I was like, yes. They won. Good effort, team. Let's go have some pizza.
Brilliant. I think I actually talked longer about that than we usually did normally.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I feel like I'm missing something. Whatever. Next week we got Wright and Schwartz having dinner together.
Oh, Lord.
That's going to be a thing. Because Schwartz is like, I hate these people. I'm going to help you. And, like, the preview goes like, oh, can we trust him? And then Wright's like, let's have lunch. Because he just wants to eat all the time. Wright's got my appetite. He really does. That's, like, the one thing I share in common with this fucker.
Wright makes all to look amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Well, fuck you, Bag.
Yeah, Bag. Third co-host. You're a lame third co-host, Bag. We need to get Bagel from iCarly that just squirts yogurt out of its nose.
I dare say it is now game time.
It is game time.
I'll let you talk a lot now.
Alright, it's the setup episode of all setup episodes. And unfortunately, Brian's going to have to hear a lot of my opinions and bits that I already talked to about yesterday, because there's no one new here to hear this material, so I'm sorry. But I guess we'll start with yesterday I was making fun of the fact that, well, that we were making fun of, like, the possibility of Zack trying to assassinate Kaido. And I thought that he was just going to talk to him. Apparently he was going to assassinate him, but not Sock'em Bopper style. Speaking of, oh my god, I'm sorry, I can't remember who made it, but the person who made that Sock'em Bopper's Photoshop thing with, what's his name, Knuckle, was just, that's amazing. I seriously love when our fans do stuff like that. Like that, and the beat writers thing starting is just great. But anyway, so he decided to blow him up, and what I was making fun of, beyond that just being funny, is that he sort of secretively went about it, and he gave Pico, like, a note to get to Orin. And then, like, it makes it seem like he's trying to avoid Kaido or Marika finding out, but then later he just shows up to pick it up. Like, I told Brian, he just said, YOLO, and just walked in. And he's like, oh, whatever.
Just strolls in, I'm here to pick it up.
Yeah, like, what was the point of getting poor Pico involved? He's still recovering from being, you know, beaten up.
Poor Pico, he was like...
Pico is the unsung hero of God.
Pico is like the like tertiary character that is so close to being a secondary character, but he's just so useless.
He can just taste it.
That he continues to be on the level of Rat and Chucky.
He's just, well, Rat. It always makes me think of the famous Jet Jackson. Like, just, Ghost Silverstone just tackling him. Yeah, so he tried to blow him up. It didn't work because, you know, Marika was so wet for him that the juices just stopped it. No, that's too much. No, but she sacrificed herself for him, and so we got two more writers dead. That's what happened to our show, too. Someone tried to murder Kevin, and Aerosol actually was just walking by. He didn't try to stop anything. He just happened to be walking by. So that happened.
I do want to make real quick note that Zach's fate, I feel, still unknown. Yeah, Minato is most definitely dead.
Her actress. Well, at least his driver's dead.
Dead. Yeah. The extra. I don't want to call it Knuckles driver because it was just that like fucking mass produced one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely gone. They could find more, I guess. But next week's the, for all intents and purposes, the finale. Before yeah. what is rumored to be an epilogue episode. So I don't see like Knuckle making another appearance, like just dropping out of nowhere, sock and bobber style.
Yeah.
Zach could still be alive. He might be dead. I don't know. It could end up not mattering, but we'll get to
he's
that.
He's still out of the fight for now.
Oh yeah, he was all pale and like
yeah, so that kicked things off.
Pico
and
really wants to find him.
Yeah.
we need to go find Zach, and the military is like, no, we have to leave.
Yeah, like, I don't remember what organization it was, but they showed up, and this was the other bit I was talking about yesterday. Man, I wasted all the good bits yesterday. But they showed up, and they're like, we heard about a group of people that were saving people in the city called the Beat Riders. Right after Zach may or may not have died, the Beat Riders finally got the recognition they deserved. And I thought that was hilarious.
Zach is up there in potential heaven going, we did it, guys.
Well, in his private heaven, the Beat Riders are just constantly getting awards. So that's how his goes. But I thought that was pretty funny. Like, I like that the government actually came in and got them, but I thought it was even funnier that the Beat Riders finally got recognition. And
we're looking for the Beat Riders. They're protecting the city. We're the Beat Riders.
Oh, they heard this had some kind of leader named Zach. Never heard of him. I don't know. Let's just go. I'm Zach. Whatever. Come on. And then
fucking Pico. I'm Zach.
finally, I can matter. We wear the same jacket. We're practically the same person.
Finally, I can matter besides being Kurokage Shin in a movie.
Like, when him and Zack and the other members of Team Baron stood around Kaido, like, in the beginning of the series, they just look like when, you know, when you see actors taking pictures next to their stunt doubles. That's what it looked like. So that's what it looks like. They have the same hair. It's exactly what it's like. But shortly before that, Coda had a conversation with someone that turned out to be his sister. Again, as I told Brian yesterday, I had no idea who she was until he called her Nissan.
He called her a car. She was really confused.
Yeah, so, but, like, I made the connection after he said it. Like, I then recognized her, but, like, legitimately, when she chased after him, I thought she was just, like, a guy team member. Like, that's not even a joke. That's what I thought. But after I realized it was her, I did really like their conversation about calling back to the beginning of the series when she's like, you can't just change into someone completely different. Because, well, not only is he really quickly changing into something different by like eating that fruit and sort of, you know, speeding along, actually changing into an overlord, but he really has changed into a different person over the course of this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I thought it was a really nice sort of like tether point for it.
I think it's really interesting that he ate the fruit and nothing happened.
I think it might be because he's God? No. He has Leviathan and, like, purgatory spirits in him, so he's fine.
Okay.
No, but I think it might have something to do with the Kiwami Lock Seed. And he wasn't infected, you know.
Right. He got his overlordness because of the Kiwami Lock Seed as opposed to Kaito, which got infected, and then he just YOLO'd his way to a fruit.
Yeah.
So it's different circumstances, I think. I want to say that's a little bit of what they were trying to show.
Yeah.
Is the fact that Kota more than likely isn't going to have a monstrous overlord form. He is just going to be Kiwami, or himself.
The way I kind of see it is, like, it's the difference between someone eating the fruit and turning into a monster to gain the power and using a driver to gain the power.
Mm-hmm.
is that Kaido's like harnessing it completely through the fruit, and he's harnessing it, the Overlord power, through the driver, just like they would any other fruit. So it's not that huge of a deal.
We had a. Is there anything else to say before we get into the fight?
Well, talking about Kaido's motivations. Being like. I mentioned this last week, and they did show some flashbacks this week, which sort of tied it back to him sort of expressing desire for the fruit, which I didn't remember that. But regardless, his little speech, because this leads into the fight, when they were like talking about their motivations and monologuing at each other, Kaido said, "I want to rule the world so that I can make everybody powerful so the weak don't get preyed on," despite the fact that he has been on record numerous times saying the weak should die, especially when he found out about what was going on from the Genesis driver guys, the energy riders, when they told him about what their plan was, and he's like, "This is good. Then all the weak people can die off and the strong will survive." So he's like a politician who has gone back on all of his campaign promises and has completely lost it. He's a thundering loony. He's turned invisible and is trying to kill everyone in Sunnydale High. So
I feel like he's a little bit back and forth on his motivations in a really weird way. Because I'm trying to figure out how the best way to phrase this is. He doesn't like being weak, and he is all about strength, and strength is power, and strength is recognition, and strength is not... Basically, strength is freedom to him, because he doesn't want anyone belittling those that are weak.
And it all ties back to that tree from Dino Thunder they tore down.
Yeah, it does. Fucking the gatekeeper. What's her face? Claire.
Brunette Claire.
Kaito's over here going, "Oh, the weak deserve..." See, here's where it gets weird, because he's, like you said, he said countless times that the weak deserve what they get because they're not strong.
But now he wants to make everyone strong so the weak don't get hurt.
And now he phrases it as, "I want to create a world where the strong don't prey on the weak." And it's a really weird way of almost saying the same thing. But it's kind of like ass backwards a little bit. I feel like he wants to create a world where he is the strongest being and basically just not really give a fuck after that. He's like, "I'm the strongest, I do exactly what I want, but I'm not really going to bother any of you people." Even though the way he's going about it, all the people are going to die.
But except his Pokemon. But, if he was, when his monologue was saying... Exactly what he said at the beginning is that he wants to rule so that it's just a world where the strong fight and the weak die out, and, you know, because he always liked that sort of competition of it. That would make complete sense to me, but here it just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's the way it's translated, or maybe I missed something. I feel like this is where Aerosol would swoop in and say something really intelligent, make me feel like an idiot. But it just seems like one of Gaim's most flip-floppy moments. Because, like I was telling you yesterday, Michi is way more twisted in terms of everything he's done. But I understood why he was doing it. Like, and also, like I said yesterday, not like I mean like, "Oh, I would do that. I would kill my brother." But like, I saw the journey, so I saw his thought pattern. So like, when his motivations were coming out, it was like, "Oh, I see how he got here." Kaido seems like he's just cray cray. The eyeliner did it. But I don't know. It's just, we'll see how it plays out next week, because Gaim has a history of. Several times, maybe not on this level, but where I was thinking, "Oh, I hope they don't mess this up," and then they completely surprise me. But just as of right now, it just seems so strange, and it does seem so sudden after we had such a tangled web of really interesting, motivated invests in humans, and now we just got Kaido, and I did not expect that.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, I always kind of had Kaito in that list of potential endgame. but it was always at the bottom.
See, I always thought it was going to be like him and Gaim were going to have to fight to see who went to the final battle. Like, it seemed like a very Ryuki Knight-ish situation. Except, you never expect Knight to be the bad guy. Knight just wanted his fiance back, and Wing Knight just wanted to, I don't know, get the admin deck and dry home kit. Whatever he wants to, you know, be elusive in Morphicon. Whatever floats his boat. But, yeah, it's just totally unexpected, which I guess is very Gaim in that way.
Right.
And what's up with Kaido all of a sudden being in love with Mai?
Talk about
a forced relationship.
Kaido?
Yeah.
Kaido...
I mean, I know they had
Kaido
moments where they had a connection.
Had a connection with her, but, well, what happened here is that...
She's the fruit.
Kaido had the scene with Mai, and Mai's like, well, do you want me or do you want the fruit? And Kaido's like, well, you're the same thing.
He just posted that, why not both me? showed it to her little girl in tacos.
To him, she's just the fruit. Mai is the fruit. Mai is the power that he needs. And then on the flip side, you have the scene where Yoko died. And she asked, if I had the fruit, would you still want me? And then he's like, well, you're you, and the fruit is the fruit. And it's kind of a little bit of a juxtaposition with... He views Mai as the fruit, but if Yoko had... I keep calling her Yoko or Minato. I keep switching. but if she had the fruit, then it would be a completely different story because he actually had feelings for her. Which is still weird because I feel like she's a lot older than him.
Yeah. But
that's a topic for a different day.
So it's like a love square between Kaido, Mai, Yoko, and a fruit. This is just like General Hospital.
Oh my god. Oh, that's a picture right there. Wow. So it's basically solidifying the fact that Kaito, despite all of the connections he had with Mai, he doesn't really care about her.
Like but before the fruit thing, it did seem like he was like invested in her in a way.
It did, absolutely.
Which I enjoyed a lot of their scenes together, but just between this like now and right before it, it just seemed so forced. Just because it seemed to always be about this sort of Coda Michi Mai triangle, where like Coda, I don't think was ever really after Mai. I think they're just really good friends. And they had a good connection. But Michi was, like, in love with her, but there was this sort of this trio going on, which I always assumed would play a big role. And if that was going on right now, it would make a lot of sense. But Kaido kind of being jammed in there always felt like this weird, random thing. Yeah. I mean, I know they both like the Dino Thunder episode with the tree. You know, like, oh, you know, stretch arm battleizers. We're into it. But I don't know where I'm going with this. Just stop me before I get to see his candies.
but... Yeah, it's a really strange sort of thing. And I feel if they were given a little bit more time or
more guys.
a different sort of format to work with, that
they would have gotten those team up episodes back.
They might have been able to kind of explain it a little better than cramming it into a 22-minute toy commercial. So I don't know. It's one of those things where you're not really sure what they're getting at. And it could end up being explained within the next two episodes. We could just be really stupid and missing something. That is probably the case.
Aerosol probably holds the key. He's the one with the fruit. Aerosol is Aerosol, and the fruit is the fruit.
so that we might have... More,
yeah, I mean, we have, like, an episode / maybe two, so I don't know.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't really know. Hopefully next week we'll be able to talk a little bit more about that with more intelligent people. Because it was a great episode, and the fight that we haven't even mentioned yet was glorious in all definitions of the word glorious. It was a fantastic fight.
It was like a fight through the history of their suits, except
kind of
like Kaido was missing a piece, so he's like, Jinba, Leban, he's like, well, I can get my energy. Oh, damn it. Wait, what's in my pocket? Mango, whatever. This is my midform. Just like, he's pretending.
Like, it really was his midform almost, because that's like all he got.
Yeah.
And then that's like, the Batch Ride video game. Like, when, before Kachidoki came out and like all of the adverts had Jinba Lemon. Baron was always Mango Arms.
But it's just funny that, like, they were all even until he went, like, an Energy Rider level, and he's like, well, mangoes.
No, mangoes. But yeah, it was, that scene was really cool. It was really weird at the beginning. It's like, we're so strong, and then it's like, orangey, banana.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're starting from square one here.
Especially for Kaido, because Kaido, Koda, damn, their names, this is the worst. Koda usually starts with orange arms, but it makes no sense for Kaido to be using the Baron system when he's got this like great power, other than just the visual of it and having riders on screen. Hello?
What?
So did you get any of that, or are you just being quiet?
No, I'm just being quiet.
Oh, okay, sorry. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense that he's using it.
Yeah,
seems kind of frivolous at this point.
It was definitely for show.
Yeah.
It was definitely look at how awesome all of our suits are.
Yeah, like, and you know how to use bikes. Look, we had bikes.
We had bikes. They were really important, and then we stopped caring about the forest, and they became not important. Oh, look, we got a fucking speeder bike too. Those are cool.
And there's like a Helheim dragon. The hell?
Helheim version of Drag Rider just came up and
search for the dragon. What? Dad?
The dragon's like, bruh, and just like knocks Koda over. Koda's like, oh, hold on, I gotta take care of this. DJ gun. Okay, now where were we? I think that ram from like first couple episodes, that big like bull thing, I think he was in there.
Yeah, I forgot that they used to do that, the Invest Eats the thing, and gets even bigger bit when they had
they did Suica. That for a little bit,
but then they ran out of CGI budget for Suica, so they're like, well,
well, there goes that. But it was just a really cool fight scene, and I it was like this, the beginning was really weird. You just have like Koda walking and he just like snaps and Invest just fall from the sky. And he's like, well, I got an army too, and it's like Pokemon battle, let's go. I mentioned this yesterday, I don't know how they could tell each other apart. The Invest were really good on this, though. They were like, they knew exactly who they had to fight.
Yeah, like maybe they have like secret tags or something. It's like shirts versus skins. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know their life. You know what's funny is that back when we saw those, you know, like that beginning scene with in the Future War or whatever, I never even thought about why they would have Invest behind them. Or, like,
I never really thought about it either.
Yeah, and now it's like, oh, they're going to become monsters and then just control them.
Makes sense. Ryugan and Zangetsu are still hanging out on the top doing nothing.
Yeah, like I told you, it's accurate, because Michi's watching from the sidelines, but, you know, he just got ghosts jammed next to him instead.
And that would definitely explain why Zangetsu wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
His army was just stationary.
That was such a like just such a fake out with that. I was thinking that Michi's like allegiances were gonna be so torn between Zangetsu and Koda. Instead he's just like, my allegiances are myself, you're both dead. Like, I never would have called that. All right, but yeah, it was a good episode. We have, like, sort of 2 weeks left. We're not sure what 47 is going to be yet, exactly, but It's getting there.
It's hard to think it's almost over.
I know. It's crazy. Like, it really snuck up on us. Like, it was getting, you know, to that finale-ish point, but now it just seems like we really skated through this whole Kaido's craziness thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's even, like, it's still probably going to go down as at least one of my favorites, even if the ending's weird. I'm really curious to see how they're going to end it.
Yeah,
I'm still going to bank on a reset button of some sort.
That's a big mystery, because it almost has to have a reset of some sort. Because if Zack is dead, then you're ending the show with assuming that Kaito ends up dying. You end the show with the only live writers are Kota, Warren,
Greedon.
Shinichi.
Maybe Greedon's gonna play a pivotal role. He's gonna dive out of the helicopter and save everyone. I don't know. I'm still waiting.
Is that it? Michi's alive. I forgot.
Oh yeah, poor Michi. He's just been sitting on the sideline.
Michi's the only character with the driver.
Yeah.
Besides Kaito, so Michi, Kaito, and Kota are the only characters with drivers. And Michi's still bawling his eyes out in the middle of fucking Frankenstein's hospital. So.
He's gonna get a janitor's outfit next week. Don't even worry about
it. Yeah, he's got
things are looking up.
I'm like, what are you doing, bro? You went from a suit to a janitor.
He's trying to pull that Andy thing where he's just gonna show up in the middle of the fight. David Wallace bought the company back. I'm back, bitches. Coda, do you see David Wallace in the room now? Can I just get one delicious moment? Sorry, going too far into the office. David Wallace is Helheim. But yeah, I personally, if I had a choice, I wouldn't have a reset button just to see the aftermath, because, I mean, we do have those couple other writers that did survive, their writers are dead, but most of their other friends are alive, so I'd love to see the aftermath, but just given how everything's gone down, I kind of have a little bit of faith that it might be a different take on the reset button, but I think it's coming. It's going to be here. The fact that we've got time travel, there's no way. It's not going to happen.
I think I would be okay with a reset scenario if at least between Mai and Kota and Kaito, at least, maybe even Michi, if their histories weren't altered. So you have a thing where everyone kind of comes back to life and it resets, not completely resets, but restores.
Yeah.
But Kota still is super overlord, and he's gonna have to travel with the forest or whatever, and kind of a weird mix between Ryuki and Blade.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I would be okay with.
I would be okay if they did a reset where it's it goes back to day one. I want somebody to retain the memory so that it's happened.
Yeah.
It's like X-Men. It got reset, but Wolverine remembers it all.
If anything, I think it's going to be a Kota situation. Maybe I don't want this to happen at all. I really hope it doesn't.
What if he's removed from all of their histories?
I could really, really see a situation where Kota does something. It resets way back to square one. And life just progresses. Without Kota.
I could totally see that.
Because, I mean, he rejoined Team Gaim at the beginning of the show. And they hadn't really seen him for several months. Or was it over a year? I don't remember exactly. But they hadn't seen him for a substantial amount of time. Because he quit the dance team. So I can totally see...
That could totally happen.
Kota doing something and everything reverting back to square one. But... Kota's gone. So.
I could absolutely see that. Everything just goes normally. No invest game, no anything. And just Kota's, has to be an overlord and he just, walks off into a zipper. It sounds really, funny when you say, he walks off into a zipper, but it'd be dramatic. That would be, amazing. I would be happy with that ending. Just because it's kind of like...
I could get behind it. I don't necessarily want it to happen, but I could get behind that, I think.
Well, I just like it because it's the reason I like Blade's ending, because it was such a heroic sacrifice for him to do that, even though it was almost... It was about the world, but it was also about Hajime. But, like, Kota would, like, one-up it. But, I mean, it would be very in character, and at least I want something to be there so that it happened. You know, because that was the thing about Ryuki, is that it's like it never happened. But
that's what bothers me the most about Ryuki, and that's a different argument.
But yeah, we'll have to see.
I think we'll know a substantial amount more next week, even though we ran the topic pretty well this week.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised about ourselves. but we will. I mean, the next episode should wrap almost everything up, and we'll know what episode 47 details. So. Check that out next week.
Hey, guy. Oh, gotta get my sounds. I almost forgot. I'm still out of practice, still. Where's the fucking switch? I can't find the switch. Every week, it's like the two light switches downstairs that are next to each other. I lived here 20 years, still don't know which one goes to which. There we go.
Because now it's time for Super Mega Force Summaries with Shuki. Not a summary. I can't.
Steel! Sorry.
I can't change the jingle. I don't know what to do.
It'll change in Dino Charge. Off in the distance. All right. This was the jealous shit episode in America.
I will start by saying I absolutely hated the fuck out of this episode in Gokaiger.
It was the worst.
I didn't like jealous shit. I didn't really like Car Ranger antics. So I really hated the Gokaiger episode. I don't want to say I, like, enjoyed this episode, but
I liked it more than the Gokaiger
episode. I didn't hate it. I liked it significantly more than the Gokaiger episode. Where to begin? I don't know. Say something.
Well, Jealous Shit's... I don't remember his name here. What was it? Tim.
Just call him a butler. He was a butler.
Okay, the butler. Like, he was still sort of an over-the-top-ish character.
We'll call him Jeeves.
I was going to call him Tim. Oh, jeez, Chives. There we go. Chives. Drake and Josh reference. Chives. So, like, Chives was still an over-the-top type of guy. But it wasn't quite as much. Maybe it's because, like, the Japanese ones tend to be a little more over-the-top and a little more annoying. And, like, on this – skating this line of humor that just doesn't comprehend. But he wasn't quite as annoying as Jealous Shit for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much else to say about him, I guess. I mean – trying to think, there's so many of the talking points are just random controversies that just spilled out of this dumb filler episode. Like Noah saying that it was gross that Insane, or wait, what's her name here? Leviathan. Levira. What's her name?
Levira.
Levira. She like her and like Jake or like a relationship would be gross. And it's like people were taking that so seriously. Like, it just sounds funny. Like, just seeing people saying, oh man, way to be like bigots. I'm like, human alien relationships isn't even a real social issue. They're not aliens here. I'm not saying they don't exist. I totally believe they exist. But that's another topic. But it just seems funny. Like, I get the sort of where people are coming from in relation to it. But I mean, it is kind of gross when you first look at it. It's like that scene in Galaxy Quest when the tentacle lady starts groping Monk, and Guy's like, that's not right, so you're not gonna attack Guy because he's just crewman number six, you know? But you know, I can see it. It's like when you see a really hot chick with a really gross guy and you're like, ew, you're not being bigoted, that's just gross.
Yeah, like
in this scenario, Jake's the hot chick. But yeah, I mean, it just seemed blown out of proportion because I don't think they meant anything by it.
No, I agree. It I don't see kids interpreting it the same way that some of the fans did. And if you were one of the fans that reacted like this, and I don't want to necessarily put you down or call you stupid, because that's not what I'm getting at. But it was such an extreme that I'm just sitting here going, you guys for real right now? Really?
Yeah, it's like, it's not that.
Because I actually tweeted that. I'm like, this is one of those moments where I just kind of close Twitter and walk away. Because I didn't know what to do. I was at a loss. I would need to watch the episode again. I meant to go back and get the line exactly. But it's not like he was sitting there saying, gays are the worst. And I've read it interpreted as he implied it had to be between a man and a woman. I don't think he said that.
I don't think
he said anything except for the fact that a human alien love triangle was gross. And I mean, just looking at Lavera, she is gross. So I agree with him completely.
And Jellish, that's even worse.
He's super gross.
It's like a human blackhead, except he's not human.
So I don't know if I missed a part of the line somewhere or not, but I don't think he actually said that at all. But I don't know exactly, I don't understand why people would jump to that much of a conclusion.
It's over such a dumb thing. Like, it's a generic filler episode, and the plot of this filler episode was like a dime a dozen. It's like, this plot has been done in numerous superhero shows, sitcoms, movies, the whole person A tries to give person B a love potion and they see the wrong person. That's been in so many things, and I've never seen so many people attack a show for trying to teach bad morals. I mean, it's such a basic plot that, I mean, honestly, I can't think of very many TV shows that haven't used a version of it that have mechanics like this. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I don't, like you said, it's a common plot. It's not obscure, and they're like, oh, in sending morals of drugging people and then pushing yourself on them. I'm sitting here going, what are you doing?
I highly doubt there's like a 5-year-old being like, can't wait to date rape. Like, they don't know what it is. Like, they have no idea. Like, when I was little and watched plot, even watching this now, when I see that plot, it wasn't until people were saying that it was like that I connected it. Sorry. I never even thought about that whole love potion storyline being anything like Rufy's. This isn't The Hangover. This is Power Rangers.
I mean, it's a love potion. It happens. It happened in an MMPR. Rita, like, love potion Zen.
She date raped him.
Date rape.
But and then most of these always come out to the same conclusion too, which is, you know, you shouldn't force, you know, love, and has to come naturally. And that always comes to the same conclusion. Unless it's The Hangover, in which they just do The Hangover 2 and 3. But that's, I don't even think Hangover's related to this. Just roofies came into mind with that. Stop me. I'm getting away from myself. But yeah, it seemed like such an overreaction, considering it was a very basic filler episode. I really didn't hate it too much. It entertained me. I think my main problem with it was actually just the lack of – I usually don't have many complaints against lack of explanation, but lack of explanation of where Orion was.
Yeah. Was he mentioned at all?
I don't think so.
I'm getting things mixed up because there's a couple episode notes that the French users were talking about that they like – couldn't find Orion or whatever, so I think I'm getting things mixed up. I don't remember if they mentioned him at all.
I don't think they did, but regardless of if they could explain it or not, I think it's a shame he wasn't in it. Was Guy around at this point?
No.
So this should have taken place before it.
Right, and Theoretically, it could have. Outside of having the Legendary Samurai formation, there's nothing tying to this episode, tying it to where it was aired. It could easily have been before Silver Lining. I think it's more or less just how it ended up.
Like, it just seems like a shame, regardless, just because they only have Cameron for such a short time. Like, he's, like, the shortest cast member. Not, like, you know, height-wise, but, I mean, the shortest running of all of them. And that's kind of a shame, considering we only get roughly 10 episodes with him. And we're not in one now. Especially after we just spent, like, all this time introducing him. And then he's like, you know what? Not feeling it. Like, I'm going to go home to Ambrosia or whatever. And, you know, it's pretty empty there, so I could just loot some stuff and build a home. But, yeah, that just seems like a shame. I'm trying to think what else. So, was there any other controversies in this episode?
Jake himself was apparently a controversy.
I was trying to think what...
regardless of how you feel about it, I've seen a lot of discussion on my timeline while this episode was airing about how Jake is a dirty, dirty person that basically pushes himself onto Gia or whatever. I'm not sure which show they're watching.
I don't get it all because he's like so...
different than the one I'm watching.
Outside of random parts where he's like, let me carry my books for you, I'm like, oh man, practically groped right there. But like, he is exactly like, I've been like that, where you're just so nervous, he's like, hey, do you want to, and then he just like McLovin walks away from her. That's exactly what he's been like. He's been very sort of nervous about it. Even at the end of the episode when they're like, oh man, you should just ask out who you like, that look of him looking at her terrified, that is not pushing himself at all. Like, it's just, it's kind of, I hate to say completely, but it's kind of realistic to the way I've acted and I've seen other people act. And if you like someone and they don't like you back, you can't necessarily just turn that off and be like, oh, they don't like me, time to just close off my feelings never look at them.
I, speaking personally now, I've been there. And it's not something that you instantaneously turn off. You don't go, oh, they don't like me, well, fuck it, move on. Some people can, absolutely, but most times, from what I've seen and from what I've experienced, you can't. And you're more or less in a mindset where you want to try to win them over. And that is what I feel Jake has been doing this entire show. Is trying to win her over, sometimes moderately successful, sometimes being laughed at, it varies. But it, and to say that it's awful because now Gia's just suddenly reciprocating mild feelings back, I think is a little bit absurd, because, I mean, just watching the last couple episodes, there was very subtle hints that Gia was more or less playing extraordinarily hard to get.
Yeah, because she never seemed to, like, be disgusted by him. It was always just kind of that, yeah, exactly. Hard to get, you kind of put it perfectly. That's kind of the way I've seen it. Personally,
I mean, that's exactly how I've seen it, because I mean, there's times where she smiled or smirked or did mild flirting back, and then Jake's like, and he just turns to mush, because that's what you do. So I don't really see how...
That's what you do. So true.
I don't see how or why this is a thing. Like, it.
Well, and you know what's funny is that, like you said, you can't just turn it off, and you also can't avoid it because they're forced to work together with this. It's not like you can be like, oh, well, I'll just stop hanging out at the yogurt shop so I don't have to see her. It's like they're forced to work together, so it's even more difficult to just say, oh, well, she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from experience. I live in the friend zone. I have a condo down here and a timeshare. Two timeshares. I don't know. I mean, everyone sees it differently, but a lot of extremes in this episode.
There's a lot of, well, not only a lot of extremes in the episode, there's been a lot of extremes overall with the show. I like how you put it on Twitter. I'm just, go catcher this, go catcher that, sentai this, sentai that. It's getting really bad with
yeah, it really in is. It's so, like this year above all. I even mentioned with like the suit thing. I always say, oh look, he's being Joe, he's being Don. Shut up. No, he's not. It's the footage they have to use. We've had problems with this forever. Tommy was a kid, for God's sake. And then like, Kenta had crazy-ass dumb movements that didn't go with Andros' stoic personality. I mean, it's just something they're forced to deal with. You just have to look past it. I mean, I've been watching Power Rangers so long, I kind of do. I mean, you sometimes you notice the odd off movement, but it's just something you have to deal with. And I'm so tired of hearing that. And I mentioned it to you yesterday when we were talking about how I completely forgot what I was going to say. Fuck, that was shit. No, wait. Wait. Damn it, I'm losing it. The further I laugh, like the farther it goes away. What was I talking to you about? Oh, about how one nice thing about the us being behind is that outside of the major bullet points, I forget a lot of the small details about the Sentai. So I'm able to watch it more successfully, which is, I think, part of the reason – or at least a small part, when I rewatched Samurai, that I was able to enjoy it more because I forgot even more about Shinkenger. And so I don't notice all of these tiny little scenes or quirks. And then people will just not stop screen capping and side-by-siding and nitpicking the shit out of it. And it's really annoying because I like to forget and they won't let me. And it's just getting super old.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I think it's even worse. Because a lot of the people watching this now, I feel, recently watched Gokaiger.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, Senpai, yay, Gokaiger is the best. And they watch it recently, and so that's, like, even worse. Like, I watched Gokaiger when it aired, and that was the last time I seen Gokaiger. And so I remember basically jack shit of Gokaiger. Like you said, the basic plot points. Like, I could watch this episode of Super Mega Force and go, well, yeah, that was basically a cut and paste of the Sentai. But I'm not sitting there going, that scene is a direct reshoot from the Gokaiger. I don't know things like that. Yeah. I really don't. I know them watching it because everyone's... I generally don't watch Super Mega Force live. I generally don't watch anything live, really. But, so, I mean, I'm looking at Twitter and stuff, and everyone's like, this is, like, scene for scene and stuff, and I'm like, well, now I know.
Thanks. But, spoiler alert.
Thanks. But I don't... I'm not bothered by these things. I really am not.
It's just kind of, like, obnoxious, because Super Mega Force is far from perfect, but it's getting so much, like, explosive attacks, and it's annoying because it's really... Like I said, it's not perfect, but it's not as bad as people make it seem. And it's just, like, this cool thing to, like, completely, like, destroy it. And it's always over really dumb, small stuff. Like, it's never over, oh, they should have done the hybrid better. Or, hey, Orion should have been mentioned. It's always like, oh, my God, they used a Flashman suit. They're disgracing Flashman's legacy. This isn't Power Rangers. For me, the minute these suits step in, it's just no different than when we get the Kyoriger suits next year. Or when the Gokaiger suits came here. The minute they set foot here, they're no longer a Sentai. They're now Power Rangers. It's like, I don't know why that's different with the new powers. It's like, people are like, those aren't Power Rangers suits, they're Sentai suits. I'm like, Megaforce suits were Gokai or Sentai suits once too. It's no different. I don't understand what's people's problem. I hate having to rant about that so often, but it's brought up so much. And regardless of what side you're on with it, it's just like the silver stripe. It's such a cosmetic thing. And people keep attacking the small little cosmetic things. When I mean, fandoms are always going to rant about stuff, but I'd rather at least see discussions about bigger picture issues as opposed to all these really small little things.
Fandoms definitely turn into very much a thing, as I say all the time. I don't even know anymore. I like living in my bubble. I enjoy my bubble.
It'll be interesting to see what it's like next year, because the Sentai purism and nitpicking has really, like, kicked it up 10 notches in the Gokaiger year.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's worse now than it's ever been. Like, it was at the point before where it was easier to ignore it, but Gokaiger hit, and it was just like, bam, there's full force purism everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious. Like, I'm looking forward to getting past this year just for that, but Kyuger was fairly well received. I mean, yeah,
Kyuger was pretty well received, and I know a lot of people watched it. So I feel like it's gonna be. It depends. I think if Judd has as much creative freedom as I think he's going to have, I could easily see the purism being knocked down a little bit because people are like, oh, this is original, this is cool. But if we get a lot of more cut and paste stuff, I could see it coming back again.
Like, what I'm worried about is that the new, because there's a lot of new things going on next year, a lot of new creative people behind it. Mm-hmm. And what I'm worried about is what if, you know, the show does get substantially better, or at least even a little bit better. Like, what if it is like better than we've gotten, but then people are still attacking it, even though it's doing a lot right now? Because I could see that happening. Like,
yeah.
I could definitely see that happening if it was moved up a little bit and, like, Judd and, like, all these other people came in and did Super Mega Force. That they would, even if they were doing things right, they would still get attacked simply because it was Gokaiger. So that's what I'm worried about, is that what if Dino Charge starts repairing things that were broken, but the Sentai fans still won't let up?
Basically, we're probably gonna end up in a situation like that.
Yeah. It seems like no matter what they do, they get attacked. Which, you know, I was no like huge advocate for Saban, but it's like it's getting old now. Just every move they make is scrutinized. Acting like MMPR season one wasn't trash. Like this stuff, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's far more entertaining and the production values are still better.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't. I. Like I said, I like living in my bubble. Yeah. No one complains in my bubble.
Like living in my bubble, coming out and just like attacking people quickly and then leaving. Just throwing memes at them, Supernatural references, then running.
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
Yeah. Alright, that's about it, so.
You could beat that horse.
No new Mega Force next week, but. 2 weeks, and then
if you're really impatient, it's floating around the internet somewhere. It's the one with it was the Dino Thunder tribute episode with Gokai Pink doing the costume changes and stuff.
Guess Ethan's not gonna be
it's an adaptation of that.
I should just show a back of a black guy's head. It'll be the same thing as Ethan. I have to be Kevin. I have to do some Kevin bits. Okay, but yeah, now it's time for
Ramble time.
Yeah. So.
Did you watch Pokemon?
I did, because he got Hawlucha.
Hawlucha's a bro. I love that fucker.
Like Kiefer said, like I love the way his tweet was constructed. It was like, did he just bro fist the Pokeball?
He did.
Like, that was awesome. He had like, a really fun episode.
There was a gif on Twitter that was Hawlucha bro fisting the Pokeball. And so I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, I need to watch this.
Yeah, like...
I can't skip this episode. I need to see the bro fist. And
the past handful of episodes between this one and then the Lucario arc actually made XY unwatchable for a little while now.
Yeah, I don't know how long that's going to last, but...
Yeah, not very long. But still, it was a fun debut episode. The gym battles and the catching Pokemon episodes are always, like, the highlights.
Yeah.
And he reminded me a lot of Buizel in terms of, like... I mean, actually, a combination of Boisel and, like, Bulbasaur or Turtwig, where it was like he was a guardian of, like, a forest. But then, like, he loves to battle, so that reminded me of Boisel. And then I keep thinking, like, what a dick. Ash keeps finding all these Pokemon that are protecting forests and then taking them out. I mean, granted, they made a point of showing that Machamp was there, but still, it just seems funny because he took Bulbasaur from the Hidden Village, Turtwig from whatever the hell he was doing.
He's allowed to do that because he left Pidgeot behind.
Yeah, I'm coming back for you. Pidgeot's still waiting. It's been like, seriously, it's been five regions.
Pidgeot's
now.
In Viridian Forest going, motherfucker. fuck.
I'm always on the road to Viridian City. Just keep passing Viridian City over and over again. But yeah, it was a good episode. I liked it. I liked Hawlucha and all that stuff. And Japan, apparently Serena's going to be catching a Pokemon pretty soon, finally, after like a million episodes. But I don't think there's too much else. I don't think there was really any other Pokemon news that I can think of this week.
Not this week, I don't think so. I've seen the new DSs and stuff. Those look really cool.
Yeah, I was telling you yesterday, I kind of get it. I might turn in my XY one for a Groudon one.
Now I'm debating. I thought there was something. Maybe not.
No, not that I can think of. There wasn't any new Mega reveals that I can think of. Or anything.
Maybe it was just character art and stuff I'm thinking of.
Probably. Oh well, we can always save it for next time if we forgot something. Full disclosure on Turtles, I forgot it was on, and then I found it Sunday morning, put it on, took a nap. I was just so tired. So I did not get to see it.
I am barely going to pass on doing anything with Turtles.
Yeah.
I watched it. The episode itself was just a really episode-long reference to Big Trouble in Little Tokyo, or China. I said the wrong fucking movie.
Little whatever.
But that movie.
Kuribo.
And Little Kuribo. But yeah, it was just a big, long reference.
That was my Kuribo noise. I'm sorry.
Beautiful. It was just a big, long, long reference to that movie.
That's what she said.
And I've never seen the movie, so I didn't get any of the references. There's a couple little things I thought was a little bit funny. The Chinese ghost guy was envisioning April, and he mentioned a yellow jumpsuit to throw back to the 80s cartoon. Oh my god, yay. There's probably a couple other throwbacks I don't remember. But
Kevin probably got like encyclopedia shit in his head.
I don't really know a whole lot else.
I feel so bad because I love the show, but I always forget when it comes back. Like, I can't think of a time that I actually remembered it was coming back and actually saw it on the day. And then, like, I found it, like, on Sunday morning. And what's funny is that I was awake before that for, like, 2 hours watching Buffy on FX. And then I fell asleep right when that was on, and then I was awake after that. Like, it always happens. I pull a Kevin. This is what Kevin's life is like all the time.
Basically.
Oh, well. But, yeah. That's our Turtles discussion. Almost said Korra. That's not back yet. I think Doctor Who is the only other thing that I can think of. Yeah, Doctor Who. Listen.
That was...
Hey, listen.
Navi, the episode.
I really liked this episode.
This was a fantastic fucking episode.
Like, I love that it started with a premise, which on its own, without the twist, could have been cool. It was kind of like one of those Moffat, you know, taking an ordinary sort of disturbing thing and making it really creepy. Like, and the whole scene with the kid and just the concept of there being something there when it's just so good at hiding. It was really creepy. And the fact that it ultimately turned out to be nothing was brilliant. Like, it was so unexpected. Because it very easily could have been some sort of creepy-looking thing, and that would have been very expected. It would have still been a really cool concept for a monster that was, like, the perfect predator, but the fact that it ended up being just the Doctor's own fear was really cool. Let's see, what else? And I'm trying to think where to go now.
I'm trying to format something in my head to you captured it pretty well in that sentence. It was just really interesting, and I want to say it was fresh. I don't remember anything quite like that, and it's got a pretty decent message going for it too.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people that keep saying, you know, Clara has gotten too important, which I really don't agree. I mean, she was already really important. She lived through the whole Doctor's Time Scream. All the times you watch the movie Scream.
We all scream for Time Scream.
for his Time Stream. So it's like, she's already so important. What's one more thing? And there was some people, I never really fully read it, but they're saying that it contradicts it, which I don't see how. Why she wouldn't be able to go back then. And I don't know if they've explained it, but isn't she sort of part of the Doctor's time stream? So she would be able to travel there.
Yes. One of the things that I saw a lot of people bitching about was how they could go back to Gallifrey. Because it's in the little pocket dimension.
Oh.
Does that affect going back in time? I don't know if it would or not. Second, I don't recall anything saying that that barn was on Gallifrey.
Except it was the same barn that he went out to press the button in when he killed all the Time Lords, or didn't kill him.
I don't recall that ever saying it was on Gallifrey.
That was it? I assumed it was. Well, but it was the same barn.
There was a lot of it was definitely the same barn. They made that clear. But I don't recall anything.
Regardless,
saying that it was
though,
on Gallifrey.
There's so many loopholes, and especially after we found out that they're not dead.
Yeah,
it's like it's such a very minor thing for me.
Like I didn't have any deal with it. I mean, if it is Gallifrey, okay. They can't go back there. Sure, they can. Why not?
They can go anywhere. This is Doctor Who.
If it's not Gallifrey, there you go. All your problems are solved. So
it's probably KO-35. Whatever. But yeah, it doesn't really matter. And like you said, it also had a really good message. And I love Clara's little speech to Kid Doctor, who maybe it's just the way I was seeing it, but the head she was petting looked like a creepy old man midget head. It freaked me out a little bit. But still, it was a nice scene. And just that moment of her being under the bed and grabbing his ankle by mistake was just such a good moment of like, oh, chiz.
She's like, oh shit, it was me.
It's like, oh my god, I found the meaning of life. It's like you just stumbled upon something. Like, it was so crazy good. Like, I loved it. The one thing that I thought that her sort of date with, what's his name? Jesse Pinkman, or whatever his name is. Yeah. There were some funny bits out of it, but that was the only thing that sometimes felt out of place for me.
Yeah. I don't really want to say out of place, but oddly paced, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Like, I think just maybe the way it was structured.
Because, I mean, it was there to kind of bud their connection, which is obviously going to be incredibly important given her apparent time stream.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that fleshes out. But that's basically the point it served. It was a little bit oddly paced at times and a little bit strange. I don't remember why Orson came out in the suit to the diner to wave her in. And then go back in. I don't really understand that.
She assumed he was the Doctor. It reminded me of that
too,
suit.
I...
It reminded me of that suit that Ten wore. I think it was an episode where he fought the devil.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, it's Ten.
Satan in a pit.
Hey, Rose is here. Let's go. No, I'll stay.
nah,
but
I'm
yeah,
good.
And you know what I think part of it was? I kind of wish that... Because I know it was their first date, but I kind of wish that they had gotten maybe one more episode with him in it before this, because this episode sort of stressed the importance of what their future might be, and it just seemed really quick. Because like we just met him last episode, or not last episode, last episode he was in, I mean.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to maybe get used to the idea of him a little bit more. It's not like I hate him or anything, it's just, it seemed very sudden. To be like, oh, hey, she just met this black guy at her school. They're going to have an astronaut kid one day. Like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that's very Doctor Who. But I don't know. I mean, it was my only real nitpick. And then maybe if they had just structured the scenes a little bit differently and the pacing, it wouldn't have been as off. But I think it just seemed kind of odd, mainly because the main focus was, for me, on the first the concept of these potential monsters and then on the Doctor himself.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely interesting. You get into that kind of mental wondering about whether there was actually a monster there in that scene.
Oh, yeah, like with that kid, yeah.
Because the episode itself reinforces the fact that feeling you get of someone being there is essentially a manifestation of your fear. But was there actually something there?
Yeah, like, it could have just been a kid. It could have been a monster, but maybe just unrelated to whatever the doctor was actually investigating. Because it was pretty creepy.
The sheet came off, but it was out of focus, and you couldn't tell what it was.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It kind of looked like a little fetus head. I don't know. Could just been a bald guy. I don't know. but there was a lot of mystery here, and I really dug it. I kind of like those. As much as I hate the horror genre, I'm not a horror person at all. I don't like being scared.
Are you a whore?
I like these sort of mildly creepy episodes, I think. I don't know why, given my distaste for the genre, but they're always very mysterious, and I like it. And the things with Clara and her is time scream. I did it too.
Yes. Fucker. Time Scream 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I liked it. I could see the arguments about her becoming too important, and Moffat just kind of shoving his shit in the history of the show. But I don't mind it, really. I don't
really either, because I actually pretty much like everything he's done. I really can't think of anything I hated. And it's not. I've mentioned this when we talked about it before, and I don't think he's perfect by any means, but I feel like his stuff ties together more for me than the Russell T. Davies era. Because the Russell T. Davies era had some foreshadowing, but it always seemed like it just sort of led up to it, and then, like, boom, Togu fight at the end. Whereas these, it's not always perfect, but it feels like he's at least trying to interconnect things, and it's, and you see what he's trying to pull off, and when he does, it's really cool. And I don't mind Clara being important. I mean, with the show with time travel like that, you can place somebody of importance like that, and I know next to nothing about the classic era outside of those specials and me not really caring. But I don't remember if they ever even visited the Doctor as a kid, and if they did, I can't imagine it was a hugely explored era.
Yeah.
And what's the big deal if she went back in time and talked to him in his bed for 5 seconds? I mean, obviously it sort of informed a lot of his, you know, of who he is with the fear, but it's like, it's not like, I don't know, she changed his father or something? I don't know. Like, he didn't do something like that completely rewrote the entire show.
Well, people are arguing, it's like, oh, she caused the Doctor to be the Doctor. She's super duper important now. You can't really say that for sure.
Came first, the Doctor or the Clara? The world will never know. You don't know.
But I
still am unclear as to whether or not she retains all the memories of her past lives or not.
I have no idea.
Still don't know. But I've really been liking Series 8 a lot so far.
I really like Capaldi. He's great.
Yeah, he is. He really brings something different to it. Totally. Totally swell. And next week looks to be pretty cool as well.
Yeah.
I think that's it. All right, so based on that, now it's time for
the Facebook question of the bi-weekliness, sometimes now weekly, maybe.
So yeah, this week was the long-awaited "Who's your favorite Green Ranger of all time?" Hurts my head when I do that. But yeah, once you get there, you can kick it off. Well, since there's two of us, we'll probably most definitely shorten anything that's too long. But it doesn't look like there's too many that are too long. What she said.
Anthony Siano says, "Camera Ziggy Cam becomes big because he was the first." Because he was first the tech guy, then became the badass samurai ranger. Okay, I really mixed up that sentence. I apologize. As for Ziggy, shadow puppets.
Stephen Ketchum says Adam because he was actually a decent actor as Zio and Turbo Green.
Neil Grimm says Ziggy.
Bitch, that's Milhouse.
Ziggy because he stole from mobsters and gave to sick orphans.
Vincent Zepeda, PD17, we don't get Kevin's voice for this. I don't even know if it would have been on him. Cam because he's Cam, and Ziggy because he's Ziggy, then any Green except Tommy. What are you, Shuichi-kun because he's Shuichi-kun? What the hell?
Christian Shear says Cam from Ninja Storm, because Cam fucked yo bitch.
What? Jeff Moses says,
I'll
love.
I have to ask Kat about that. I don't think that happened.
She's like, oh, yeah, that must definitely happen. yeah, Jeff says, love Brid and Ziggy. Both are awesome. He's like really exclaiming, love Brid and Ziggy. Both are awesome. Does it seem like I'm excited or that I'm just weird? Brid is buttery and Ziggy has sweet hair and got Dr. K in show and also Earl. You got on a TRL? What? That show's canceled. I have to say, though, always did like Tommy's Green Rangers outfit. There's two of them. There was. There's like three of them. There's the regular version, the silver stripe, and then the trash version we had.
We did have the trash version. Lawrence Tubbs says, Bridge, because sometimes you just want a character who is simple, appreciates the simple things in life like buttery toast, and is genuinely funny.
Chris Huxtable says, Bridge makes me happy in all kinds of ways. I think you should not read this one because it's too long. I'm tired just thinking about you having to read it.
I'll do it. I got it. All right. I got this. I can't believe it's time for this again, so let's take a trip down memory lane. Shelly, so what makes a good Green Ranger? I think he or she needs to bridge the gap between cool and quirky, and in recent history, only one of them stands out to me. I found that a character that livens up the place, or rather gives a jolt of energy to the team, has set themselves up as one of the greats. Looking at them all, I noticed a few that were able to Xander... to be read in a glorious New Zealand accent. No, fuck you. Off the beat and path, but gosh, Damon, it's hard to figure out which one comes out on top. I keep getting Carlos'd in my thoughts while tackling this great question. Mike Gant, what? Remember? Oh, Mike, I get it now. Remember when I had this much trouble getting an answer? Ziggy Grover on my end. What? But it would be Orion Shame if I didn't have an answer, so my answer is Jungle Fury Elephant Ranger, because thank you. I did that really awful. And I like how you threw in Dino Charge. Like, I don't even know if that's his actual name yet.
It's a topical reverence. Jared Castiel says, dude, it has to be Cam and Ziggy. Cam because, well, hell good fighter and smart and best samurai, and Ziggy because he damn. Wait, because he damn? Because damn, he is funny.
Chenick Stewart says, this was a toughie for me since two of my all-time favorite Rangers are Cam and Ziggy. Cam had probably one of the best story arcs in PR, while Ziggy was, well, Ziggy. But I know Lord Dawson wants only one person, so I will go with Cam. Also penis.
Cam's not even here to appreciate your penis. Tommy Lou says, going to make a quick one since I have a crap ton of homework. You're wasting time. Xander from Mystic Force. Plan Xander, goodbye and have a nice day. Hi.
Yo. Kevin Fandathong says, Bridge, I'd let him butter my toast. Oh, you and me both.
Calvin Dailey says, we're going to betray everyone while working for the Earth Kingdom. Bridge because buttery toast, or Ziggy because he totally bangs Dr. K.
He does, like IRL now, like it's confirmed.
TRL. Lie.
Edgar Joestar Quick says, Dawson, after he steals Saban's money and tapes it to himself while being a Jew Ranger, making his cringe level skyrocket and causing all who witnessed it to die from the sheer amount of cringe that was caused.
Get out of my brain. Joshua Perry says, Bridge, Ziggy, or Jake, because I like them. Yeah, hashtag cuz fuck Dawson. Damn it, why did I read that?
Brought that upon yourself, bro.
I'm tired.
Oscar Peckart. I don't recognize your name. Hello. Bridge, because he was buttery, and Ziggy, because be one weird son of a bitch. I think you forgot an H in there somewhere. But
this one even seems long. TKD Tigray says, Cam is the best green. Oh, that was right. I missed this the first. Anyway, he had to earn his powers and still needed to gain the respect from the team and father. From his team and father. There we go. Sorry. I'm like skipping words. Like, I'm like, this is how I read books. I love his ascension from supporting role to I'm a badass six and get stronger by taking his vest off. Hashtag, because fuck Tommy. I never even thought about it that way. Ziggy and Bridge are close seconds for being the characters that stand out so much from their seasons. They make me want to become a hero by accident and eat some buttery toast. I want that all to happen at once.
Chris Nichols says, I didn't see a no Sentai answers, please. So, Doc. Hashtag, because fuck Dawson.
Nope. No Sentai allowed here. I send it back.
He really means Jake.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he meant. I'll have to be more specific next week about the Sentai answers. All right. Overlord Baron Derek Zartan says, Adam, because no one complained about him going from black to green.
Robert Nicomini.
That's a brilliant name. I actually really like this one because of the Office reference.
If Dawson tries to send us back, I send it back at him and vaguely threaten him with testicular cancer. Shishi Ranger is my favorite Green Ranger.
Damn it, Kuiper. Kuiper Martin says, well, obviously, my pick has to be Dino Charge Greet. Wait a minute. I didn't say two weights. I'm sorry. I misrepresented you. Okay, I just got word from my incredibly reliable sources in the Toku News Pathon. Pathon? Is that a word? Pathion? Is that like an Eevee? Okay, we'll put a pin in that. That there is no Green Ranger in Dino Charge. That's just the second Blue Ranger. Also, the gimmick isn't dinosaurs. It's actually eggs, and the main weapon involves transforming a gun into a completely different colored sword. Whew! That was a close one. Anyway, my real answer is Ziggy, because I dug how different his background and how he became... Wait, how did I read the right? I dug how different his background. Okay, that's right. Yeah, right. And how he came into accidentally becoming a ranger was. Also, he was legitimately funny. That helps. Hashtag go go diner Ager. Diner. Diner. Go go diner rangers.
And Joel James DeGasia says, Ziggy Grover, RPM Green. Just for being a great ranger and one of the funniest characters in all of RPM. Yeah.
Rick Hernandez says, Bridge. He is smart, adorable, and just all around fun. It's a Z-Harmony profile.
Eric Beltran says, Bridge, no doubt about that. He's cool, funny, and awesome. Sorry, I was looking at George's answer, and it's a brick. What more can you ask for?
George Hansen, Jr. Detective, says, my choice would absolutely have to be Xander. He was a spectacular character from start to finish. Just like, Dino was at a climax from start to finish. Am I right? No. Richard played him in the best of ways, and there was a reason. We didn't even leave the season. And there was a reason we all have reference for Plan Xander so much. I messed that up. He's such a memorable character and in a color that tends to fall flat for me. He really stands out. I won't use Cam or Fant because they are other class. They are in other Ranger classes, so it has to be my mate Xander. Ooh, he's friends with him personally. I touched him.
Overcome. I touched him too, and then he stole $10 from me. Can I get a picture? Sure. It's $10. Click.
Let's see. Since George just said it, I'm gonna have to say Xander too. It was a tougher one for me because particularly like in the last like clump of like the Disney era, there's a good handful of them that I really like, but I really did like Xander a lot, and like George said, he really stood out. I love that he got to keep his accent, and it added to his personality, and the whole Plan Xander thing just gave him this really memorable thing, and I love like the idea behind it, like that he's supervising, and he just wants to sit down, because I love to sit. But, you know, and I also like that he sort of had that little mini arc about how he actually sort of used to be made fun of for his accent, and he sort of found himself with these friends and came into his own identity. And I don't know. I just like Xander a lot. He's a cool guy. He's really likable. Plan Xander never fails.
I don't know. I don't want to. I hate going with majority, but Cam, Bridge, Ziggy, Xander, all great fucking characters. So I honestly can't pick. If I absolutely had to, I guess Bridge. I've got a huge bias towards SPD. And watching the show for the first time, Bridge was like the greatest thing. I'm like, you, where have you been all my life? And so if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Bridge, but again, because of bias. But all four of them are really great characters that I like a lot. So this is by far the hardest category for me.
Oh, baby.
Really?
Sorry. Been a lot of longs and hards used in this episode. So.
And, I mean, you have Adam and Zio and Turbo, too, and I like Adam. I don't think he's as strong of a character as, like, Cam Bridge or Ziggy or Xander or anything, but I still like Adam, so this is by far, I think, the most difficult category, but I'll just give it to Bridge for the sake of buttery Like, that's just such a part of my life.
Who doesn't like butter?
I just love toast.
I love the butter, you love the toast.
I love the butter, too. The butter makes the toast, don't get me wrong. Eggs make the toast, too.
I think I've asked this before, I think you guys, but do you remember that Dr. Seuss story where it was like a fight between the people that buttered the top of the toast or the bottom of the toast?
You've asked that and I still don't know.
Damn
what you're
it!
About.
Somebody's got to know it because that book made me hungry as fuck when I was little. I loved it. I'll find it.
The only feuds I know about are the Sneetches.
Let me look this shit up right now. Doctor, how do you spell Seuss? Damn it! I keep hitting the wrong key. Seuss toast. Toast. The Butter Battle Book. Perfect. It's like Big Bad Beetleborgs, but with butter. Oh, it's like a big comfy couch moment. See? War based on toast. See? Perfect. Everyone should go read that. That's your homework for next week's podcast. Read the Butter Battle Book. That's fun as hell to say. I'm going to be saying that all day tomorrow. Just walk up to you. Hey, how are you doing today? Butter Battle Book. Walks away.
Wow. Okay, what's next week?
Six Rangers, unless I forget to put up, that'll be 2 weeks. And I will put up a thing that says no Sentai answers, because that's the point of this, because we might actually do Sentai versions of this at one point. And also, I'll put it in the question, but there's also going to be a bonus week where I do, like, other categories. So, like, counting, you know, anybody that was, like, a Magna Defender, Blue Centurion, SPD just having a plethora of Rangers. So just keep that in mind when answering that one. That there's going to be like a favorite, like miscellaneous extra type deal. Kind of a catch-all for whoever doesn't count towards that category.
Cool beans.
But now it's time for
Final Things!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
Final thingies in Future 3. And so that includes all the stuff we just said. What I just said about the Facebook question, it will be up when I remember it. There's going to be a bonus one, so don't worry about, you know, choosing Wolf Warrior as your Sixth Ranger, because he's going to get his own category. I don't think we have any other announcements or anything.
Is Kruger a Sixth Ranger or an Extra Ranger?
I don't know, because I think that Omega technically counts in that sixth.
Omega's the technical.
But he's
sixth,
seventh.
Even though he's seventh.
I mean, I'm not going to be
the
like
one on Guy's chest. So,
like, if you answer Shadow or like Udana as your favorite sixth, I'm not going to like attack you because technically Udana's number one. She was the first Ranger in that one, but just that'll kind of be open for the last one for anything like that. Because it's kind of weird, SPD in particular, because I always think of Omega as 7, but he technically filled out that traditional 6th role in terms of always being there and all that stuff. Alright, so in conclusion, Butter Battle Book.
You've been listening to the RRR podcast, and you have no idea the kind of pain we're in.